Martin, hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well, Chris. And hey, what a way to start off the week, man. National championship hunt. We are right square in the middle of it. And hey, Chris, I know you're running the show, but I got to go ahead and get this.
Because it's your show right now. Go ahead.
Hey, last time we talked, I had to remind you at the end, but I want to go ahead and get the shout out over with right now. Pull back down the middle, D. What? I'm telling you. By the Auburn game, he gonna touch the ball three times in one game.
It'll be, and it hopefully won't be trying to pick up a fumble. It'll just be a design call fullback play.
Absolutely.
I'm with you though. It's kind of amazing. The plays seem to be working rather well, and just some general thoughts on what you saw from the Tide in knocking off a top-ranked Mississippi State team.
Hey, the biggest thing I see is, man, for the first time in a long time, those kids are having fun.
They are.
It is no longer that we're winning and we won, but man, yeah, they're enjoying the win. They're enjoying the experience, the moment as they go throughout the game. And when you take this kind of talent, get them passionate, and they are enjoying what they're doing, and it's no longer a labor of duty, but a labor of love, I think this team can really do something special. And then you just go, hey, hats off to the defense once again. What can you say about a guy who it still amazes me that there's still doubters out there? But Blake Sim, he just makes the plays he has to make when he has to make them. So overall, great weekend for the Tide. The biggest thing is, like I said, they're having fun, and I think that recipe is going to be enough to get us deep into the playoffs.
Having fun, loose, relaxed, and total confidence, it seems, right now in Blake Sims. Statements that if I had gotten you to put Vegas odds on it in August, probably would have netted quite the return on that investment. But it's fun to see. It's rather amazing to see. And I think they are, game by game, growing more and more confident in Blake Sims and at least his ability to deliver when the game itself is on the line.
And that's what you have to look at. I hear people saying what he can't do, and that's because they started this season off that he was a failure. And he still, for some of them, he still has not graded out to be an A player yet. But if you had started this season off, and I did, I thought he was a gamer. I thought that spring game was unfair to him in the public eye because Coach Kiffin and Coach Saban were not going to give West Virginia or anybody any film of what this offense is going to look like. They asked him to be a drop-back passer in that spring game. They just didn't do what he could do best. And so we didn't get to see the real Blake Sims. And from there, so many people downgraded him to a failure as a quarterback.
Yeah,
but if you came into this season, which I did, not to my own horn, I told Ryan Fowler the game. I said, "This kid's going to be a gamer," and I said, "What I mean by that is, no, he doesn't have the stature, he doesn't have the big arm, he doesn't have a lot of those things that everybody says makes a great quarterback." I said, "But he's been in this program for 5 years, and he has fought, and his team is going to play hard for him, and when they're needed, he's going to be a gamer, and that's what he's proven to be." You know, I go back to that one game, Chris. Ole Miss, I'm still not sure Blake Sims wasn't hurt. That didn't look like the same Blake Sims the other games. And when we've needed him, especially two of the biggest drives in this school's history in back-to-back weeks.
Let me throw a couple of others at you. Amari Cooper is clearly the man. I mean, big play, he's your guy. Named today one of 10 semifinalists for the Biletnikoff Award. They need to go ahead and throw this thing away and just give it to him now. Forget your little dog and pony show known as semifinalist list. This is the best receiver in America, in my opinion, the best player in America. But he's got help. Okay, it's DeAndre White, who I thought had one of the guttier performances. He and T.J. Yeldon both now, Martin. You ask your leader. You need your playmakers to make plays. You need your leaders to lead. So when they're hurt, but you know they've got to be out there, there's T.J. Yeldon plodding through, giving you what he gave you on the ground. And I'm telling you, DeAndre White, I was told, was not going to go in the second half. He tried it. The leg was stiff on him. He could not do it. And when that offense did nothing in the third quarter, he took it upon himself to find a way to get loose, get ready, and he got approval from the medical staff because I witnessed it, but he got himself back out there through a couple of key blocks. That's the type of leadership you're getting on this team right now.
Yeah, and you say those two, and I go back to Cam Robinson the week before against LSU.
Yeah.
You know, these guys they're injured, but the part that I love, Chris, is not just that they're getting themselves physically ready, because there's sometimes guys, they're going to get themselves out there physically, and they're going to push themselves. But then when they get out there, the offense is shoestring. I mean, it's pigeonholed because they cannot run the full offense because they were not mentally prepared. Cam Robinson against LSU, we ran our full offense. That tells me that kid is a natural leader, not just a physical talent, but a mental talent. Same thing with Yeldon and White. When they're limited at practice, but yet when they come into the game, they're still able to perform at that high level. And that is what takes your program to the next level, Chris, is when not just – see, these guys could, you know, just keep doing what they're doing, let somebody else do it. But they don't. They're stepping up and saying, hey, I want to be a part of what it takes to get there. And when you start getting that type of attitude from your superstars, then it just trickles down to, you know, guys making plays on special teams, guys hustling, you know, on kickoffs, and going that extra mile to make a difference. And like I said, man, when you got the best talent, and then you put around and start having fun, and then you got leaders like you're talking about, it could be the ingredients for a special recipe for a special season.
Martin Houston, our guest here on Tide 99.1. I'm Chris Stewart, and all of our guests appear courtesy of the Budweiser Hotline presented by Green Beverage. Let's talk about J.K. Scott. I asked somebody on the sideline Saturday. I'm not sure I can remember the last time a guy who had as much of an impact as Cody Mandel had could be forgotten so quickly. This guy was really, really, really good. And now it's almost like, who was our kicker last year? I mean, this guy, Scott, is unbelievable.
MVP of the team. And I said that. I'm saying it on the air, but I said it during the game. As I was watching it, I said, J.K. Scott is the MVP of this team because Coach Saban, this is what I love. You know, when you're at that 32, 35-yard range, and you think, man, if I punt this ball, I'm really only going to gain 15 yards, you don't worry about that with him. I've right. never seen a kicker with a leg that can consistently kick it 65 yards, you know, but yet has the ability to kick it 30 yards, but kick it a mile high. On
right.
that, I mean, when you watch him kick the ball 30, he kicked one punt, and we got a penalty by the ball, but he kicked that ball, Chris, 25, 30 yards in the air? Our guys were standing down there waiting.
Yeah.
Twice. They were waiting on the ball to come down on short punt. Most kickers just kick it in the end zone. They try, but they don't have the ability to change the trajectory of the ball like he does. When he needs to get distance, he gets distance. When he needs to get height, he gets height. And he's a freshman.
Yeah.
And the pressure doesn't get to it.
No, it doesn't, and deserves as much credit as anybody on that defense for the safety that the Tide got a couple of plays after he pinned him inside the the 5 yard line there. How about the development of the defense, and specifically the secondary? It was such a weak point at the end of last year. And frankly, you've got a lot of the same guys back again, but they have just gotten better and better week after week. And we saw it in overtime against LSU, stepping up, making big plays. We saw it throughout the day on Saturday, because this state team's going to drive the ball. They're that good. They are that good offensively. But when it came to the red zone, making sure that, especially early, they only got field goals or less, thanks to 3 interceptions over the course of the game. Rock solid right there.
Yeah, Cyrus Jones, kudos to him. I have been on him probably more than any young man deserves when I'm at home. I don't do it on the radio. But I screamed, turn it around! And yeah. I said, if he ever turned around, he's going to intercept the ball. You know, I've never seen a kid get beat more with the coverage than Cyrus Jones. But the last couple of weeks, his ball skill is improving. I still think he has room to improve, but he's beginning to turn around when the ball's approaching. And if he adds that element to his game, he's going to be a difference maker. And he's been a difference maker, you know, in the last 2 weeks, making plays because he turned around on the ball. Eddie Jackson, leg is getting better. You can tell he's what we thought he was, and he's finally getting healthy. Made some key plays in that game. And then, you know, we forget about Nick Perry, you know, because he's back there with one of the best in the business in Landon Collins. But Nick Perry is getting better and better. And then, of course, what can you say about LC? And it's not just the plays that they're making on the ball, Chris. They're tackling in space, and that's hurt us in the past because that's where we've given up the long run. Is our DBs have not been able to make those tackles when the front seven didn't get them on the ground. And this seems to be not just a good ball coverage unit, but they seem to be able to make those tackles a lot more often than they miss them. That'll be huge. Of course, you know, I know we got a game this week, but that'll be huge against Nick Marshall and company.
Step away from Tuscaloosa for just a moment. Was Saturday in Athens a case of Auburn catching the wrong team at the wrong time, or was it a sign of something we're going to see in 2 weeks?
When they got beat by A&M, I said, I wonder which way will this team go? See they had a great team last year, Chris.
Yeah.
But it all started in that Texas A&M game. A year ago.
Right.
Johnny Manziel gets hurt, and Auburn takes the lead, and boom, from there, everything fell their way. A year later, things don't fall their way. This is the same group of kids who are on a team that what? That shut it down and quit. And I'm not saying that I didn't get to see, I only saw the beginning of that game. So I'm not saying this Auburn team quit. I'm not saying they did, but I'm telling you, sometimes it only takes a small prick for there to be the balloon to pop.
Right.
And when I saw the result of the game, not having seen it, it made me think: Will this team quit? Will that 2 years ago Chizik mentality that these juniors now? And seniors on this team, when they were the followers and they saw their leaders quit, will they quit? I don't know. It's so different when you're playing with success and a goal than it is when all your dreams have been snatched away. And I'm not sure. It looks like it's possible that we could see foreshadowing of things to come. And I got to give a shout out to my boy Jeremy Pruitt. I think the guy just simply flat out knows how to coach against these high school coaches and these high school offenses. And I appreciate him giving us a nice game plan.
Let me ask you about this, too, and I want to be clear on what I'm saying. I think Auburn did get better last year. I thought Auburn was a much improved team that did get better and better each week, and they were a heck of a ball club by the time we faced them, by the time they got to Atlanta. And by the time they played in the national championship game, they just came up a few seconds short. But I say this all the time. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you are. You got it. There's luck involved if you're going to win the whole thing. There's luck involved. And luck doesn't always mean the right bounce going the right way. But that is part of it. And we see prime examples in Auburn the last 2 weeks, Martin. They were unfortunate in the way the ball bounced against Texas A&M. But they were just as unfortunate, in my opinion, in that they had to face Georgia with Todd Gurley for the only time in the last month and a half, and what will now, we now know, be the last time in a college uniform. That's extremely bad misfortune to have to face that guy on that day, and now he's not going to play anymore.
Right.
That's a different deal, and that's part of the luck that plays in. It can go your way, as we know it did a year ago, and it can flat out go against you in a heartbeat as well.
Yeah, you know, I looked at Auburn's season, and Chris, I agree with you. What Gus Malzahn did in year one was amazing. When they went from 3-9 or whatever to a loss in the last 13 seconds of a national championship game. But the reality of it is, they were five plays. If you want to look at a team and you can say five plays, they were literally five plays from being 7-5 last year. Okay?
Right.
And this year, the reality of it is, they are literally a couple of plays from you know, having lost three in a row. I mean, the reality of it is, they are inches from having lost Ole Miss, A&M, and Georgia.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
I do.
And I believe you make your luck. So the reality of it is, you make your luck. If Auburn had not put themselves in those situations, if they don't hustle, they don't do what they do, they wouldn't have gotten lucky, but they did. And so luck or good, whatever it is. The reality of it is, you're right, though, Chris. Going over to Georgia, having to face Gurley, and it's hard to say this, but it might be true. Chubb might just be as good as Gurley, just a different style running back.
Yeah.
He's a freshman. He's special. And to get both of those, when one went out, the other one came in, wow. I mean, you just can't, you know, that's right. In the schedule this year for Auburn, everything lined up. Last year, for a special run, seems like things kind of fell back on this side. And that's what we said. Auburn could lose 3 or 4, but they could also run the table.
Last thing I'll let you go is homecoming week a distraction at all in the college game? I know it is absolute chaos in high school, but in college, do you even know it's homecoming week if you're a football player?
I don't remember it having any impact, Chris. And for us, it was usually in the middle of the season, and I think we played a little better teams than what we're facing this week. But a week of festivities leading to up to homecoming. But we were a little different. We were in dorms, and we went back and forth. The fact that these guys are out in the community and out around and a lot more, I think, engaged in the community than what we were. So I guess it could potentially. But I think this team is on a mission, and I don't think they'll be distracted.
All right. Hardest working man I know. You're kind enough to be on with us once a week. You're selling Blessed Assurance on Sundays as a preacher, and then life insurance the rest of the week through your job there. That hit me this morning, by the way. So tell them
that was good.
Tell them what you're doing Monday through Friday.
Hey Chris, I am. First of all, I'm taking my leave from you. You're the hardest working man I know, and I'm proud to know you. But I am also proud to be a part of the Chris Stewart Show, and that's made possible through my job with Alpha Insurance. I have a home base here in Northport. It's my office, 1211 Wyoming Wallace Boulevard. Sell auto, home, life. We can sell annuity funds, etc. But as you say, I love to sell the life product, because not only does it give you peace of mind while you're here, it actually makes a difference in the life of those you leave behind whether it be those final expenses, college education, pay off mortgage, et cetera. So if you're in the market, and we all should be in the market for life insurance, give them a call, 205-826-1381, Alpha Insurance. We're the best agents in the business, and I thank you, Chris, for allowing me to be a part of your show each and every week.
I appreciate the insight, man. Always good to talk to you, and we'll visit next Monday, Iron Bowl week.
All right, man. Roll Tide.